At London's 5G World event in June of 2016, global technology leader Ericsson partnered with King's College London to showcase the potential for remote robotic surgery. That is, a doctor operating on a patient from several time zones away. While this concept is astonishing in both scope and purpose, for this to be actualized, we first need another innovation to take place. 5G, the next generation in ultra-fast wireless technology. Welcome to The Future According to Now, a podcast from Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic, and Fidelity Investments. Technology holds so much potential. Some of it sounds really far-fetched, but some of it matters right now. This podcast explores groundbreaking innovations that hold real potential to change our lives in the foreseeable future, but not always in the ways you might imagine. In this episode, we'll explore next-level connectivity. From automation to transportation, healthcare, haptics, and beyond, 5G promises to open up endless possibilities in how we connect. And we'll hear from a Fidelity expert on how this move to the fifth generation will affect a fundamental building block in the tech industry. I'm your host, Vicky Vergolina. If you glance at your phone right now, you'll probably see a small icon at the top left of the screen that says 4G or LTE. That tells you your device is operating on the fourth generation of wireless network that allows you to talk, text, send videos, check your Instagram feed, and tweet the latest. But while you may have heard that 5G is the next generation of connectivity and is preparing to make its debut, what may surprise you is how much it will fundamentally change the way we live.
I think the fifth generation is very much about the next large leap forward in mobile networking, where previous generation has been focused on consumers. This one is focused on consumers and industries. So I see 5G as a platform, as an important society platform, more than a network.
Meet Peter Linder. He is responsible for customer engagement marketing for 5G for Ericsson in North America. Ericsson is a global leader in tech innovations and at the forefront of building 5G network capabilities.
We're going to see big leaps. The most obvious that everyone associated with it, higher data rates, so that it will go faster in the networks. Second, we're going to see lower latency.
Latency simply means how long of a delay from when a signal is sent to when it is received.
The third one is like device density, so that we can have more and more devices in a particular given geographical area.
And that all requires a major communication infrastructure upgrade. But 5G standardization is moving quickly. According to Ericsson, the first 5G radio will be completed in late 2018. Commercial 5G networks and devices are expected in 2019, with major network deployments from 2020. And as industry players experiment and layer new modifications, the implications will only grow outward.
In the past, 4G was pretty straightforward. We have a 3G network, we built a dedicated and overlay 4G network, and we had one device, which was a mobile phone. Here is a lot more multifaceted. So we will start with a few things, but the build out of the network will be geared towards what are the initial use cases we believe in and where will those use cases take place. And it will be a interaction between the 4G and the 5G network. So most of the use cases we're talking about can be done with 4G, but will be improved with 5G.
While the pace and reach of development will vary greatly depending on the use cases, once 5G is established, Peter predicts that we will see new innovations born that we haven't yet imagined.
So all industries want to test, elaborate, and see how it all works. So there's a lot of innovation to take place. Essentially, it's innovation cycles that we have to go through where innovation ideas from the different industries will be tested on the networks, and out of that will be born a number of new use cases.
It's predicted that we should start seeing the test rollouts of 5G networks later this year. Ericsson estimates the number of 5G users to reach 1 billion by the end of 2023. So what will this mean for the technology inside our devices? For more on this aspect, we turn to Fidelity research analyst and portfolio manager Steve Barwakowski.
I joined Fidelity out of undergrad, and I spent 9 years in our high-yield group covering a variety of industries, including technology. And then in 2009, I moved up to the equity division covering semiconductors, really leveraging some of my time covering the sector in the high-yield group.
So first things first, what is a semiconductor and what do they do?
The technical definition of a semiconductor is any material that is neither a conductor like gold or copper or an insulator like glass. The most common semiconductor is silicon. But when I talk about semiconductors, I'm really talking about computer chips ranging from the microprocessor in your computer or the baseband cellular processor in your smartphone.
We've all heard of silicon as both an element on the periodic table and a driver of technology. It even has a valley named after it. As an integral component used in most semiconductors, Steve can confirm it's an important market to watch.
I mean, semiconductors are ubiquitous today. The industry's really changed from the early days when semiconductors were primarily found in government or enterprise computers. Semiconductors are effectively the brains of laptops, cell phones, and even the brains behind advancements in artificial intelligence.
With that level of multi-industry import, you begin to see why Steve focuses on these tech enablers.
Today's semiconductors are a $450 billion industry with massive exposure to classic computing, which is probably about a $65 billion market. There's a $100 billion smartphone market. And even today, $30 to $40 billion of semiconductors can be found in cars.
The massive ramp-up of 5G subscriptions is expected to be fueled by third-generation chipsets, which means silicon innovation is essential to enabling the transition to 5G.
5G is going to rely on many of today's existing technologies, but will also rely on new chips that will make 5G a far more robust technology compared to today's 4G technology. As an example, 5G promises peak download speeds up to 20 gigabits per second. That's over 30 times faster than the technology embedded in the latest iPhone.
So 5G promises speeds 30 times faster than our current 4G. To put that in perspective, the transition from 3G to 4G increased speed about 10 times.
What's particularly exciting is 5G's impact on non-traditional industries like IoT, smart cities, and autonomous vehicles. Autonomous cars will depend on 5G not only for the enhanced bandwidth and speed, but also lower latency, expected to be just 1 millisecond. So yeah, 5G is going to drive semiconductor growth in everything from new chips in your phone, significant investments will be required to upgrade service provider infrastructure, and 5G will support increasing semiconductor content in devices that are not traditionally connected, like cars.
So here we head back to this concept of low latency. Again, how delayed a signal is from transmitter to receiver.
With autonomous driving, whether or not the car needs to brake or not, that decision needs to be made immediately and really can't wait for a good connection between the device and the cell tower or the cellular infrastructure. So latency is life dependent.
The implications of ultra-low latency could be seen perhaps most acutely in the burgeoning field of remote robotic surgery. That's one of the many applications King's College London is exploring. The college was among the first three academic institutions awarded a grant to build small-scale 5G networks, or testbeds, to investigate and validate 5G-enabled concepts.
So I'm Toktan Mahmoudi, and I'm an associate professor at King's College London, and I also head the Center for Telecommunication Research here.
The grant is made up of public and private funds, joined together to drive the development of 5G use cases and business models.
5G is about bringing in all different existing technical solutions we had for enabling a better or a higher quality of experience for a user who is actually doing exercises such as driving an autonomous car or operating a robot remotely. So all these cases are cases that have never been possible by network because the capabilities were not there.
Those same capabilities would allow for the remote robotic surgery I mentioned at the start of this episode. Ultra low latency and high reliability, allowing for real-time interaction.
So this action-reaction or this haptic network is only possible if we have a super low latency in the order of a few milliseconds over the communication network, which for the first time it's being possible by 5G network.
Haptics, the technology that engages our sense of touch, is fueling Dr. Mahmoudi's research into the concept of democratizing expertise, now called the Internet of Skills, a term King's College actually coined.
So the concept of Internet of Skills basically is based on sharing your skills through the global network today's internet is internet of knowledge in a sense, right? We exchange and share our knowledge with each other over the network, but we cannot share our skill set over the network because our network doesn't interact through action.
This idea of being able to transfer physical skills over the internet, the way we currently send emails, is boundless. Imagine being able to physically demonstrate how to fix a car from a continent away. And that's just the beginning.
Now, this internet of skill concept could become really interesting when we talk about very sort of more higher skill type skills. The demonstration we had in the robotic surgery was a very good example because through that collaboration with the medical team, we realized how much interest is in medical training. So for example, the best surgeons could teach medical students in wider area of the globe on how to learn the best practice of surgery, which is not only knowledge, but also its physical skill.
In order to realize the full potential of this Internet of Skills, haptic technology needs to evolve further. Once that happens, the application of novel technologies across industries stands to fundamentally challenge the boundaries between the cyber and the real world. That's where David Birnbaum comes in. As the design director of Immersion, an industry leader in touch technology, he's a trailblazer in haptic tech innovations in gaming, touchscreens, VR, medicine, and mobile apps.
There was so much activity in screens and in audio, spatial audio and things like that. And the sense of touch was almost an afterthought, if thought of at all. And that's clearly a gap in our technology, especially when you think about how important the sense of touch is to human life. It's not just this peripheral experience. It's central to our social interactions.
David says part of the reason haptic technologies traditionally lag behind other modalities is that it's so complex.
The sense of touch is still, to some extent, not understood completely. Some psychologists say, 26 different senses are what we're referring to when we say touch, so it's really complicated.
I also asked David the recurring question that I'd been turning over and over in my head. How is it that through vibrations and feedback loops, you're able to program a feeling?
What's interesting about haptics is it's really easy to fool people when you create a haptic effect or sensation that is well correlated to other modalities. So if you think about it, you don't really ever feel things in isolation. You always are also looking and hearing them. And that's just to say that these sensations that we're bombarded with all day long, we integrate them readily. We integrate them into a picture of the world.
So are you, in essence, tricking the senses into feeling what the other senses are already confirming?
We are tricking people. I mean, I'll own that. I think we are tricking people. I mean, if you think about Hollywood, right? You go and see a movie, the sound effects that you hear and everything going on in it. I mean, it's not quote unquote realistic. It's just kind of cinematic, right? And so there's kind of a difference there. And so the way I'm most interested in kind of developing the art form right now is meeting people's expectations for an experience, not necessarily meeting the real parameters of that experience, if that makes sense.
I asked David to tell me where he sees haptic technology heading in the near future.
Zooming out and looking at the future, yeah, I think haptics is going to be a key part of everyday life, just like today. The touchscreen is a key part of everyday life. You're going to have haptic actuators that can display cold, can display heat, can display surface forces so that you can feel virtual friction and texture, getting something a little bit more realistic than we've had in the past.
This is really complicated stuff that we're talking about. And investing in technology and semiconductors is like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. And in this case, it's a really, really complicated jigsaw puzzle. Historically, the semiconductor industry has grown at a multiple of global GDP. And I see that as the primary driver of growth going forward, given that it's so large and it touches so many things. 5G is just a piece of it, but 5G will play a role in continuing to grow that overall market going forward.
The way the evolution has gone is seeing that each and every step here has been a big one. When we connected the phones to people, that changed the communication between every household. When mobile was introduced, it started to change not only for the family, but it changed for each and every person. I think that this shift that we have ahead of us with 5G is not only about changing person's life, it's about changing society and business lives in a profound way.
Next time, technology and e-commerce are exploding in emerging markets. Can we adapt U.S. business models to contribute to this boom?
There was this kind of myth of Chinese entrepreneurs as being great copycats but lacking innovation. But actually what I saw up close with my own eyes was that because e-commerce in China was starting from really ground zero, there was no infrastructure for e-commerce. Everything had to be built from scratch. So it gave the entrepreneurs there a lot more freedom to innovate and create things that maybe the way they should be instead of the way they had to be to fit the existing infrastructure.
On the next episode, the next 6 billion users. The Future According to Now is a podcast from Fidelity Investments. To learn more or to get in touch, visit us at theatlantic.com/fidelitypodcast. You can listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Promotional content produced by Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic for Fidelity Investments, parentheses Fidelity. Fidelity and Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic, are independent entities. The views and opinions expressed by the speakers are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of Fidelity or its affiliates. Information presented is for information purposes only and is not investment advice or an offer of any particular security. This information must not be relied upon in making any investment decision. Fidelity cannot be held responsible for any type of loss incurred by applying any of the information presented. These views must not be relied upon as an indication of trading intent of any Fidelity fund or Fidelity advisor. Fidelity and the Fidelity Investments and Pyramid Design logo are registered service marks of FMR LLC. Copyright 2018. FMR LLC. All rights reserved. Fidelity products and services are offered by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917. 848-666.1.0.